turundusuudised.
We move on to our next topic now, and it's about the trends. Mintel defined five new trends for tech brands for 2016, and they told that one of the trends they called is power to the people, that 63% of Brits would be interested in using privacy setting in order to avoid seeing ads that use personal data. And then the second trend they pointed out was that they called it Find It For Me, that new solutions are needed for overwhelming choice of information. The third one was about bundling up, that tech and media are merging. And the fourth one about that two become one, that, for instance, tablet and laptop hybrids is the new trend example. And then the fifth and final one was about don't disrupt me by overcrowded advertising. It means that those sites who can have less advertising will win more customers. So what do you think about these trends in the context of creative businesses?
Yeah, well, it's obviously all very relevant. And it links back to some of the things that I said earlier on in terms of things like personalization and the greater need for products or for brands to be more interactive and open and co-created, they're more democratic in a way, or at least to create the facade that they are that. And I think that it's interesting. Sometimes it's a marketing tool. Sometimes it's genuinely an ambition to invite audiences or markets into the process. In relation to the privacy settings regarding advertising, obviously that influences the potential for certain sites to monetize their content. And you know, on the one hand, advertising is a creative industry sector itself, so that's going to change its revenue model in terms of where how it can raise income, but also for creative content brands, you know, whether it's around streaming film or music or whatever, if people are trying to squeeze out the advertising, then that's going to diminish their opportunity to raise money against that content. So that's going to change the business model there somewhat. The second point around the bite-sized videos, and it kind of links back to a point I made earlier on about the short form. And this is something that is underappreciated, I think, in terms of education and also in terms of prioritization for creative industries development. So much now is about the short form or the bite-sized videos, that kind of micro content development. And I think this is a huge market opportunity for creative firms that are able to produce high quality, compelling content in tiny fragments, and also to serialize it, so to build in a loyalty. I think that could be really powerful. And this all links to, you know, the growth of the smartphone market, but also the increased possibility to provide really interesting content there, with animation as a sector growing and integrating narrative with gaming and things like that. So this just bodes well for the digital content businesses. But also, I think there's something here, and this is where there's scope for opportunity in terms of organisations in the cultural sector and you know, music organisations and different sectors, in looking at how you can develop audience engagement through things that distract them for a short length of time. So I've been very interested, for example, in a project called Clapping Music, which was something that was funded in the UK by the National Endowment of Science, Technology and the Arts, NESTA, and the Arts Council, and something called the Arts and Humanities Research Council through a digital innovation fund. And they worked with the London Sinfonietta to develop an app of Steve Reich's sort of famous 1970s piece Clapping Music. And this became a kind of game of a kind of rhythmic game where you clapping through your smartphone. And it built a real kind of loyal, competitive user community internationally. And it introduced in new and different ways revenue streams for the organization, for London Sinfonietta, but also it introduced a new kind of audience or brand loyalty to the content that they were generating through their mainstream activities. So looking at every kind of cultural organization probably should look at short form content opportunities to build their profile and build their audiences. The bundling up stuff, this is a real kind of development opportunity for creative businesses. And actually, it'd be worth looking at this in an Estonian context. Is there a way of curating the best of, or in a certain categories of Estonian content through shared platforms, and selling it on that basis? Or do you just go through the big business models of bundling up content? I'm less au fait with the notion around bundling up hardware, which is mentioned in the Mintel stuff. But bundling up content's really key. And, you see that whether it's through something like Etsy, the crafts kind of aggregator. Obviously, you see it in a lot of music and film distribution models, but we don't see it so much in kind of country-based or even country-based approaches to creative industries. So there could be something interesting there around bundling up content and selling it collectively as a kind of Estonian creative proposition. What else? The shared platforms. I've got less to say on this other than I suppose that this is going to shift audience behavior or consumer behavior in ways that I can't really predict yet, but it'd be important for creative businesses to get sight of how that triggers new kinds of behavior, where people are working seamlessly across different hardware in different locations. I don't know what that'll mean, but it'll change the way that people work. What was the final one around online advertising? I guess I covered that a little bit earlier, but I think that there's this goes back to that point about personalization. This kind of blanket advertising isn't something that is working for a lot of web-based media at the moment, and instead there needs to be much more kind of personalized focusing on and surprising almost the audience with an awareness of their particular taste community and their particular needs and aspirations. So again, I think creative industries and cultural organizations are good intermediaries of that, because they're so close to they should be so close to audiences and to the social context of consumption.
I think that if we put all this together, so whatever trends you are looking from the creative business point of view, there are probably always something you can see and bring in either to your own business or to your customer businesses in order to use it. In Estonia, we tend not to be very good in looking about trends, because we somehow feel that we are in the outskirts, that the trends happen somewhere else, and it sometimes takes for years until it comes here, if it comes at all. I also would like to urge that if we put together two things, the things that you pointed out previously, that more creative companies need to be global from the very first day, then it's important to understand all those different trends, what's happening all over the world, not only what happens here in Estonia or what reaches out to kind of the smaller part of the world.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's something about small, smallness does generate different opportunities for you. And you can test things and see the relationship between cause and effect, for example. So some kind of overarching lab approach to embedding creative practice in business development is probably more amenable and deliverable in Estonia than it is in a larger country. And you can also probably accelerate the development of certain products and services because of that. There's something in smallness too.
Absolutely. We tend to be very proud of it, that we could be like a pilot market for more big brands. But now it seems somehow that the shift for piloting has, again, from Estonia to Sweden, that it's called sometimes kind of a European America. So if you want to have a product that succeeds in States, then you should pilot it in Sweden. So we are somewhere probably a bit more different compared to the big markets, but still probably there are some things that can be tested and piloted here as well.
Definitely. And also supporting your entrepreneurs to be the testers and to develop their own kind of products and services, because I think that there's potentially a lot of innovation happens to the margins, and in a sense you are to the margins, so they could provide a really interesting space for a lot of collaborative practice that would be really hard to manage in other contexts.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good opportunity for us.